anybody stressed out there from all the planning and all the purchasing and all of a sudden this big day is coming and you're not, anybody stressed out there? Oh, liars. Look at all the liars out there. Yeah. And we're celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace. And we got to get this, especially as your family gets bigger. Man, it gets difficult to select dates that you can get together. But we are here to celebrate Jesus. We've been asking the question, who was placed in that manger? Who is Jesus? Now, in 1933, a Dow chemical worker, accidentally, he was a college student working at night. He would come in and clean up all the test tubes. He found a substance on one of the vials that he was working with. And the researchers, Dow researchers, made a substance of greasy, dark green film, and they renamed it Saran. It was just by accident that they found it. The military used to spray this on their planes to guard against salty sea and car makers on the upholstery, which is why, if you remember as a kid, you would jump in the car and go right onto the other side. 1956, it was approved for food. And that was the year that tormented many men who never figured out how to correctly unwrap the Saran wrap. And the women had it figured out. The men, we would do it, and we would try to take it apart and throw it away. Okay, we were never trained to handle Saran wrap correctly. It has the ability to keep the foods from drying out, keep them fresh, keep them from getting stale, keeps odors apart. It was a wonderful thing that they invented. But the most important role of Saran wrap is for protection and preservation. So what would God's Saran wrap be for his people? What would it be? What keeps these people fresh, unstained by the sin odors of this world? What keeps us fresh? What holds these people together when life seems to stretch us out? What has God given us to protect, preserve, and keep us fresh? And I say, it's something that gives us hope when there is no hope to be found. Now, there's many things that you could put there, but what I would put there is the peace of Jesus Christ. That no matter what odor seems to come at us in this world, it protects us. No matter what dryness seems to come at us, it protects us. It can lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we come out on the other side, the Prince of the Peace of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been answering the question, who is Jesus? And we find that he is both the Son of God. All the characteristics of God were found in Jesus Christ. He's also the Son of Man. All the characteristics that make man man was found in him. He is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our good shepherd that leads and guides us. He is our corruption conqueror, or the wonderful counselor that leads us through all the things in this world that can hold us down and tarnish us and hinder that life of goodness that he has for us. And today we find out that he is the peace provider. He is the Prince of Peace. Turn to John chapter 14, starting in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Randy, why do you believe the Scriptures what it is? There's right there is why I believe it. Because the Spirit of God has brought to mind the authors everything that Jesus has said. It wasn't their own memory that did it. God did that so we would have that. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Some of you out there need to hear that. Not my peace. Not the peace of the church. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled this morning. Be confused. Letting fear wind up within you and fog your mind. Because Jesus is offering us his peace. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, we understand the nouns and the verbs and the adverbs and the sentence structure, but it's difficult for us to grasp your peace. This world has no peace, not for any longevity. But You're giving us the peace you had while you walked on this earth. And we need to know how to accept it. We need to know how to apply it. We need to know how to live in it. And I pray that you speak into the hearts of each one here, and I will thank you for this. Amen. In her book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Any of you read that to your kids? Yeah, yeah. Alexander had a rough day, okay? He woke up and his bubble gum that he had in his mouth when he went to sleep was now in his hair. And he tripped on his skateboard. On the way to the bathroom, he dropped his favorite sweater into the sink that he was going to wear. His brothers, Anthony and Nick, found prizes in their breakfast cereal. He did not. At recess, Alexander's best friend, Paul, tells him he's no longer his best friend, and his mom forgot the dessert again. After school, Alexander's mom took him and his brothers to the dentist, who found a cavity in Alexander's tooth only. That night, the family had lima beans for dinner. He sees kissing on TV. The water is too hot. He gets soap in his eyes. His marble is lost in the drain. And then he's forced to wear his railroad pajamas. He hates his railroad pajamas. He thinks moving to Australia is the answer to all of his questions, all of his problems. Would you say Alexander had a peaceful day?
No.
No, he did not. Would you be able to find peace in an Alexander type of day? If that's your day, would you be able to find peace there? Jesus' disciples were having that kind of day. It was the last night. Jesus has told them he's going away. Now, in their minds, he's deserting them. They've given him 3.5 years. He's going somewhere else. He's deserting us. How could he do that? One of his disciples is going to be a traitor. And they're all going, oh, this can't be. This can't be. Peter's going to deny him 3 times, even though he did not believe Jesus. And all of his disciples are going to run and hide when Jesus is arrested. Then Jesus would stand trial, be convicted, and crucified. Folks, that is a terrible, horrible, very no good, very bad day. And at this point, their brain gets fuzzy. I mean, it's coming at them. Your brain ever get fuzzy like that? I mean, things just come at you all the time, and you can't process one before another one comes. That's the way they are. It's the same as in Job. In Job chapter 1, Job is having a wonderful day. He's called a righteous man. He's looking around. God has blessed him immensely. Then all of a sudden, one of his servants comes and says, hey, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up all your sheep and servants. And Job is going, man, what does this mean? Before he could say that, another servant came. The Chaldeans made off with all your camels and killed his servants. Again, what does it mean? That's two. And then all of a sudden, another one comes. A strong wind blew down the house. His children were in, killing them all. How do you do that? And then on top of that, his wife goes, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? That, his brain is fuzzy. He don't know how to process it. And life can come at you like that. It just comes. We could handle maybe one thing, but this happens, and that happens, and this comes over here, and normally we don't see it coming, so we can't process it. And that's the day the disciples were having. They could not see the blessings God has for them planned for tomorrow. As a born-again child of God, we need to keep our eyes lifted up, because tomorrow is when the blessing's going to come. Jesus is going to rise again on the third day. They did not understand that. The Holy Spirit was going to be given to them as promised. He was going to leave them his inner peace. But they could not see that. So what is the peace that Jesus is giving us? Well, it's not the absence of hardship, turmoil, pain, any of that. You will have some that will teach you that. But the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. Paul had to learn this. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. That doesn't sound like a loving God. Yeah, Paul had a vision, or went, or however he did it, into the heavens, and to keep him from becoming conceited, God gave him a thorn. 3 times Paul asked that that be taken away. And three times God said, no. He said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, I'm teaching you to let loose. And when you let loose, there's only me, and I will make you the person I want you to be. Jesus' peace is knowing that there is grace sufficient for every circumstance of life. Every circumstance of life, every event that's going to come at you, everything that catches you by surprise, there is going to be peace and grace that God gives you. There's enough there for you every time. Biblical peace is a state of inner tranquility, of wholeness and completeness. It is not something you create on your own. You're not going to faith it up. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God that is within you. Biblical peace is for today. So often we are in the by and by in the heavens and all of that, but biblical peace is for today. In the world you walk in your circumstances, in your confusion, all of that, it is for today. But there are some things you've got to know and some things you've got to apply. The first thing is that we got to claim it as ours. God has made this peace available to us, but for several of us, we will go, well, it doesn't mean me. I don't have enough faith. You got to claim it as your own. We notice that Jesus' peace is different from the peace of the world. The world's peace is based on absence of conflict or the arrogance, pride of life. Absence of conflict or I can do it. I am good enough. My pride will get you through that. The peace offered by the world is empty promises and can only bring temporary comfort. God's peace is a permanent peace. By the only one who can be trusted to keep his word and promise. Do you trust Jesus to keep his promises?
Yes.
Oh, we think. Do you trust Jesus to keep his promises? If that's true, that will lead to different thinking in your life. That will lead to a different living in your life. Notice Jesus' peace is given. The kind of peace that permeated my life on earth, I'm going to give it to you. So was Jesus peaceful here on this earth? Was he peaceful when he was tempted in the wilderness? Yeah, I believe he was. What about the time that they picked up stones and they were going to stone him right there and he just kind of walked through them? Yeah. What about the storms in the sea? Did that give him any problems? No. No, he was sleeping in the front of it. Didn't bother him at all. What about his betrayal and standing before Pilate, knowing he's going to be sentenced to be crucified? Did he have peace there? Yeah, he answered Pilate's questions, challenged him. Even in the struggles of the Garden of Gethsemane, he reached a place of perfect peace with his crucifixion coming up. Understand, there will be times that you will struggle with the things in this life. And you keep struggling until that perfect peace comes to you that is offered by God. It is not earned, but it is learned. You don't earn this peace. God gives that to us once we have become a born-again child of God. We have recognized the need for a forgiveness of sins. We recognize that Jesus has borne that penalty on the cross. We have asked for his forgiveness. We have believed that he has forgiven us because God is justified. And because of that, not only is our sins forgiven, not only are we adopted into his family and the Holy Spirit lives within us, his peace becomes available to us. We come to the point where we've got to know this peace of mine belongs to me. God, Jesus has given that to me. But I've got to learn how to let it loose in my life. We've got to get in the yoke with Jesus Christ and learn of him. It's curious, that verse doesn't say learn from me. He said learn of me. Take a look at my life. How have I lived? That's available to you. Isaiah tells us that God will keep us in perfect peace, which is Jesus' peace, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace those who have lived a perfect life and have not gotten mad today. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Is that what it says?
No.
No. But we do that at times, don't we? Whose minds are steadfast. Regardless of what this life is throwing at me, there is grace available to me. Regardless of what's going on in my life, I am here, I am yours, and you are going to do something marvelous in me because I trust you. The question is, do you trust him? Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. So let's identify where Jesus' peace shows up. And you will find it mainly in three different areas in our life. We have been given true, eternal, immediate peace with our Creator. Understand what happened in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there was sin. Because of the sin of our life, we have been separated from the Father. But because of the salvation that is offered us and we have accepted through Jesus, Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have, what's that next word? What's that next word?
Peace.
We have peace with whom? God. We are at peace with God from our salvation. Look at that. We no longer have to struggle with it. We have to accept it. How many of you believe God's mad at you? How many of you believe God's, you know, I grew up in a church in which it was kind of a hellfire and damnation church all the time. I grew up thinking God was looking for a reason to take me to the woodshed, to give me a thrashing. May have been some physical similarities there, okay? I'm not going to say that. But we're at peace with God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Through him, through Christ, we have obtained access by faith into this grace or peace, in which we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in us. Paul says you are already at peace with God. Apply that. Accept that. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we sin. There is much repentance as well. But you're at peace with God. That is spiritual peace. That is already provided. But we've also been given peace with others, including ourselves. Point that finger right there, including us. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And in our lives there are those that wall needs to come down, that dividing wall of hostility. This is sometimes more difficult than spiritual peace, okay? Because we live in this world and in our homes and our workplace, but mostly we're dealing with sinners, both sides. On the spiritual side, you got a holy, righteous, just God that longs to bless, and a sinner. Now we're dealing with two sinners, and at least, and it's more difficult. Did you notice the dividing wall of hostility? It's been broken. No longer do we have to be hostile with one another. No longer do I have to be hostile with myself. It's been broken down. Now, because of the love and the salvation we have from Jesus, I can look with compassion. I can look with acceptance. I can long for God to be revealed in their lives and in my lives. And that wall has been replaced with compassion and mercy and grace and understanding, the desire to glorify God. Your wall of hostility will never glorify God. And as a result, he has taken that away. And he has made all of this available to us. You're going to have a hard time being at peace consistently with others until you find peace with yourself. Read that again. We try so hard to be at peace with others that we forget the first one we need to be peace with is ourselves. You will find yourself fighting memories, fighting the voice in your head that is hindering the voice in your heart, which says mine. The voice in your heart says loved, full of grace. I long to bless you. The voice in your mind says, why? Why did I do that? Why was this done to me? Why? And as a result, we have not found peace with ourselves. We must learn and accept who we are in Christ Jesus. You got to know who you are, guys. You got to know that. I am a child of the King. Not because I say so, but because Christ has said so. I am full of all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience, we've got problems. All the others that go down through there. But that's what God is putting into our lives. And He has promised. He has promised to present us faultless before the Father with great joy. That's who I am. And that's who we want to live up to be. We must let God not just forgive, but redeem our past. So often we try to cover it up. We set it over here and we do all sorts of things, but He needs to redeem it. To forgive it, let it rise. We must learn to see life through eyes of compassion for ourselves and others. James 3, 17 and 18, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's the second one. Gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see now that we have peace with our Creator. We have peace with ourselves and others. But folks, we also have circumstantial peace that enables us to withstand the storms of life. As the disciples were struggling in the storm of the sea, Jesus asleep up in the front, they went to Him and He woke Him up and said, "Don't you care? We've been back here struggling for hours. Don't you care? We're going down." What was Jesus' question? Calmed the storm, looked at Him and said, "Where's your faith? Where was your faith? Faith in what? Faith in their ability?" They were sailors. They'd been on that sea. They'd been through storms before. Faith in their abilities? No, because that proved faultless and fruitless. Faith in Jesus. As He sleep in the storm, He had them. Romans 5, 3 through 5. We rejoice in our sufferings. Say what? That doesn't sound very good, does it? Paul says, we have learned, would be a better way, to rejoice in our sufferings. Because they bring something. They teach us something about ourselves. They teach us something about others. It teaches us how limited we are to take care of that. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, a steadfastness. If there were not hard times in your life, you would never know that God could take care of them. If there were not tough times in your life, you would never know that you could stand fast on the rock of Jesus Christ and continually receive that. But endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. There is nothing, born again child, that you're going through that God has not planned on using. It did not catch Him by surprise. He didn't look around and go, "Cheryl needs some help today." I'm editing, okay? Nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing is fruitless in His mind. It is always to bring us closer to the character of Jesus. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace. Because Paul even had to learn this. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry. The NIV would say, I have learned how to be content. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Whatever comes my way, I'm not going to worry about it because Jesus has got me. Whatever, if it's easy, if it's hard, no matter what's coming to me, I trust Him to keep His promise. I trust Him to do what He wants to in my life. I trust Him to use me in ways that He longs to use me. I trust Jesus, no matter if I'm hungry, no matter if I'm tired, no matter if I'm stressed out, I trust Him. So how did Paul describe the peace of Jesus? Now, remember, Paul had to learn this. He was a strong-willed, a judgmental type of person. How did he learn this? Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that I cannot even describe to you surpasses all understanding. That will guard your heart. That will guard your minds. That will guard your lives. Don't get stuck in today, or don't stay stuck in today. There are times in life it gets difficult. Job was stuck with all those things going on. So would you. But don't stay stuck. We must remember we are children of tomorrow. Amen. Now you need to understand that. We are children of tomorrow. Today does not define us. My events do not define us. The world doesn't define us. I don't even define me. Jesus defines me. And he says, I am already more than a conqueror. Even though we don't feel like it, through faith we can see that God's leading us to victory. Psalms 121, 1 through 2, I lift up my eyes to the hills. In other words, is that where my help is coming from? Is there somebody coming from over the hills? Maybe it's the Egyptians with their horses, maybe, and their chariots. Maybe it's this over here. From where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So as a result of that, I will trust and be strong in him. Philippians 3, 13 through 14, brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own. I've not got there. Paul says, I haven't got there yet. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. It's not dragging me down. I am not letting my past, as good or as bad as it is, drag me down. Define who I am. Determine how I think of myself and others. That I'm forgetting what lies ahead and I strain forward to lies ahead. He's like you've seen the runners, especially the short distance runners as they're coming up to the end line and they are straining. They're moving forward to the fact so much that it looks like they're going to topple over. They're trying to get the edge and the one with the longest neck seems to win. Did you ever notice that? I press on. Regardless of what's going on in my life, I'm going to press on. I may be down for a little bit, but I'm going to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. I'm not going to get stuck in today. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. That is exactly what Jesus did. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay away aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. NIV said, let us throw away the hindrances, the things that wrap us up. And let us continue to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. How did Jesus do that? The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. The cross was horrible. It was a horrible experience to Jesus. And he would not have been able to experience if he didn't see through that to the joy that's on the other side. And the joy is you and me and all the others who accept him, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All because he didn't stay stuck. He looked forward. We are children, folks, of tomorrow. So Jesus is our peace provider. He's the Prince of Peace. John 16, 13 says this, I have told you these things, so in me, not your Bible study, not the things you do for God, not the church, in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have troubles. Jesus said that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. But take heart. Be joyous. Be of good cheer because I've already overcome that world for you. And I'm going to walk you through that world. Personal peace is not just possible, but it is already given to you. If I'm good enough, if I have enough faith, I will get this peace of Jesus. No, it's already given to you. It's a gift that God allows you to have. But we do have to abandon these destructive thoughts and habits we have. How we think of ourselves. How we think of others. How we respond, the habits that we have. Do you know what Jesus has provided to you? Do you know what his promises are? Have you received them as yours? There is no peace in sin. There isn't any. There may be ease, there may be popularity and fame, even prosperity, but there is no peace. Now folks, if you can sin without without it bothering you whatsoever, you better pay attention to your salvation, because the Spirit will not allow that to happen. But there is no peace in sin. We've got to focus our thoughts on the things of God and what He has provided for us. We must let them transform our lives into one that looks closer to Jesus every day. That's what He's doing for us. We are being transformed into the image and character of Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this in Romans 12 verse 2. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't think like the world does. Don't see yourself like the world does. Don't compare yourself to the way the world does. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect, and peaceful will. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for Your word. And Lord, the truth of that, may that grab a hold of us. May it begin to transform us, how we think, how we see others, how we respond to each other. Father, may we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And may that dictate, yes, Father, we are human as well. So there will be days that it'll appear that we're stuck, but we're not going to stay there. For the joy set before us, we will endure. And we will bring glory to You through this. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would tell someone here, if they are not Your child. My words can't do it, but Your Spirit can. That they may do something about that today. But for the most of us, are we letting Your peace permeate our lives? Am I being transformed, or am I going against a pattern of this world? Am I letting the world dictate who I am? Am I letting someone else dictate who I am? Even myself, rather than You. And You look at us with joy as a dearly loved son and daughter. Father, may we receive that this morning. Father, may we come to Your altar and seek to start that transformation process. May we come to altar and seek Your face, that we may begin to learn how to apply the peace You have given us. So Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do, and may it be for Your glory. Amen.